Thank you. Good day, friends. We again come to you, and it's a real joy again for me to discuss with you the wonderful things concerning our Savior. And we are in the second chapter of the book of Galatians, and we're dealing with the last few verses of the chapter. In fact, we're down to verses 19, 20, and 21. And I would like to read those few verses now. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We have been discussing in these passages of Scripture justification by faith. We have where the Apostle Paul rebuked Peter for the inconsistency of his action, and that he wanted to put the Gentiles under that from which he himself had been delivered. And then he revealed the folly of legalism. The Jews left the law to be justified by Christ. Then why bring the justified Gentiles under the law? And as we said, it's either wrong to flee to Christ at all, or wrong to flee back to the law. Now, I'd like to emphasize very strongly the fact to Judaize Christianity, that is, to make it a system of legalism, is to frustrate the grace of God. For Christianity is founded not on human merit, but on faith. Indeed, I'll make it stronger than that. To Judaize Christianity is to destroy it. It's no longer Christianity. For the simple reason that Judaism has to do with the question of keeping the law of Moses. Not only the Ten Commandments, but all the Levitical laws, the sacrificial laws, cleansing laws, all are a part of the whole. Whereas Christianity is a life, and it comes to a person by personal union with the Savior. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Or as, if I may go to Romans chapter 10, the fourth verse, which says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now this is what Paul is standing for. And Peter, who knew this truth, was not walking uprightly according to the gospel. He was trying to make Gentiles come under that from which he had been delivered. You remember that passage in Romans 10, if I may go back to it. In the third verse I read, the Jewish people, who going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. May I remind you that when a person seeks to establish their own righteousness before God, they are manifesting their ignorance of God's righteousness. And then in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the gospel is a revelation of the righteousness of God. And once a person sees the righteousness of God, my friend, we see the utter folly of a person trying to fit themselves for the presence of God. Indeed, when Daniel saw the Lord in his righteousness, he said, my comeliness has turned to uncomeliness. And Daniel was a wonderful man. You treat the great prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw the Lord, he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King. What did Job have to say about it when he saw the Lord? I've heard of thee by the hearing of mine ears, now mine eyes see thee, I abhor myself. When Peter saw the Lord, he said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a wicked man, quoting Luke chapter 5. You see, even the Apostle Paul, once he saw the righteousness of Christ, everything else faded out of the picture. As he could say in Philippians 3:9, I'm going to be found not in mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which is by works, but that which is through the faith of Christ even the righteousness of God, which is by faith. What I'm trying to get to your hearts and minds this morning, or whatever time of the day it is where you are, may I say that you cannot stand before God on any other ground than on the ground of the righteousness of Christ. As I've so oftentimes said on these broadcasts, there is only one righteousness, and that's God's righteousness. And you must have something that will equal His. You see, that's impossible. That's true. Man cannot produce such a thing. But listen, when you and I accept the Savior, remember He not only died to put away our sins, but He died to make it possible for God in His holiness and righteousness to declare righteous those who believe in His Son. Again, I would urge you to read Romans 3:21 to 31. And remember that God is the one who justifies the ungodly who believe. Now, we've had that in verse 16, 17, and 18. And having accepted Christ as Savior, to go back to legality, to go back to the works of the flesh or the works of the law, we ruin Christianity. The law has had nothing to say since the cross. And you and I who've accepted the Savior, we've been joined to a risen Christ. Now when we come to the last three verses of the chapter, which I read a few moments ago, we have the error of this very thing. In verses 19 to 21, I through the law am dead to the law, for the purpose that I might live unto God. Well, Paul, when did you die? I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave Himself for me. You see, the law, all the law can do is to slay. In verse 19, if I am going to live under God, then I must be freed from the law. And the only way we can be freed from it is by death. For example, I'm living here in the city of Portland. I'm under the laws of the city of Portland. As long as I'm living in the city of Portland, I'm under its laws. But if I die and I'm buried, death has severed me from all relationship to that law. Now then, when Christ died, He not only died for my sins, but He died for me. He not only died for the acts, but for the actors. And Paul here is saying that death has come in, and through this death we have been, the relationship to the law has been severed. I'm going to make a strong statement, and I hope you'll bear with me when I say this. The law was never given as a means of life to the unsaved, nor was it ever given as a rule of life to the saved. Now, you say, well, Mr. Mitchell, don't we have to keep the Ten Commandments? May I suggest to you that in all the revelation of truth given to us in the epistles, 9 of the Ten Commandments are involved. There's only one left out, and that's the Sabbath day. That's an amazing thing, is it not? Why not the Sabbath day? Because the Sabbath day is a sign of a covenant between God and the people of Israel. And if I were taking the time to go into that, I could point out to you that even in the Gospel through John, when our Lord was here, He recognized that. Why did Jesus Christ, for example, go out of His way to perform miracles on the Sabbath day? And why did He make them carry burdens on the Sabbath day? Why did He make the man go to wash in the pool of Siloam on the Sabbath day? Why not just speak the word and heal him? He could have done that. Why not? Because having spurned the God of the covenant, there was no need to keep up the sign of the covenant. I say that very frankly. That's why I say the law was not given to the Christian. It was not given as a rule of life to the Christian. It's not given as a means of life to the unsaved. We're saved by Christ. And the death of Christ has severed all relationship to the law in every capacity. What for? That I might live unto God? You see, the natural thing If I, as a Christian, want to live under God, I'm going to look for something that I must do, instead of letting Christ live out his life through me. Christianity is a life, and that life is Christ. As Paul, you could say in chapter 2, verse 20, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. This is why you could say in Philippians, chapter 1, verse 20, whether by life or by death, Christ be magnified, Christ be magnified in my body, for to me to live, Christ. To die is to be with Christ. I count all things but loss that I might know him in an experience where Christ is living out his life in us. Death severs relationships. If I were teaching the book of Romans, for example, I'd point out in chapter 5, from verse 20 to 12 to 21, the death of Christ has severed me from a condemned race. In chapter 6, the death of Christ has severed the relationship to sin as a master in my life. In chapter 7 of Romans, the death of Christ has severed the relationship to the law as a means of holiness. And in chapter 8, I'm in Christ, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. This is Romans chapter 8, the second verse. You see, what I've been trying to get to your hearts these last two or three lessons, I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, did a perfect work. And the only way which you and I can be delivered from legalism and from legality and from the works of the law and being saved by the law or justified by the law is through death. And I, through the law, am dead to the law. What do you mean? The law slew me in the person of my substitute, Jesus Christ, for the purpose that I might live unto God. Now, if I were talking about Hebrews in chapter 10, was it chapter 9, chapter 10, where he's finishing up the argument of Hebrews on the sufficiency of the work of Christ, its superiority over Old Testament sacrifices which were offered under the law, that we've been delivered from that for the purpose, delivered from dead works for the purpose of living unto God. You see, when you live for yourself, it's dead works. Can't produce anything that will satisfy God. You must first of all be in Christ. You can't add. What I'm trying to get to your heart is you cannot add one thing to the work of Christ which he accomplished on the cross. So we have here in verse 19 that the law has severed the we've been severed from the law because of death. The relationship has been severed. And now we are to live unto God. Why not? Why not? Will you please read this book again? And the Lord bless you.